Now we go to Congo, where we're going to talk more about a subject we touched on earlier with Ophebia, the way women and girls are being increasingly targeted by combatants on both sides of a conflict. This is especially true in the Congo, where for the past decade, the Democratic Republic of Congo has been plagued by civil conflict and war. The eastern region of Kivu has been one of the hardest hit and has become known as the epicenter of horrific violence against women. And I should warn our listeners that the subject matter of this conversation may be very difficult and even inappropriate for some listeners. Human Rights Watch estimates that some 200,000 women and girls have been raped in Congo since 1998. Both rebel fighters and government soldiers have been known to use rape as a cheap weapon of war to destroy the family and spread disease. The agony of the experience has left thousands of Congolese women and girls frightened and socially stigmatized. One woman has fought back not with a gun, but with a microphone. Shushu Namagabe, a radio journalist, has traveled through the most dangerous places in Congo to talk to rape survivors and try to give them a voice through her radio program.
La République démocratique du Congo a connu des guerres pendant des décennies, et le viol a été utilisé comme arme de guerre afin de...
Shushu is one of this year's Knight International Journalism Award recipients for her work in this area, and she joins us now in our studios in Washington. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you too, Michelle.
Is it hard to get people to talk to you about these terrible things that have happened to them?
At the beginning, it was hard, yes. And even to us, we had to prepare ourselves how to meet with victims, how to behave in front of them, what attitude to have so they can talk freely to us. So we had first to prepare ourselves, to train ourselves how to meet with victims. And for them, it was the first step to heal their internal wounds, because they had someone to whom they could talk, to whom they could explain what happened to them. And to others who were still hiding, they came to us. They said, we thought that we were the only to have such problem. But after listening to other testimonies, we can talk also.
I would like to play a short clip of an interview that you conducted with a very young girl who has been raped. It is in her local language. I'm going to ask you to help us with the translation. I'm just going to play it, and here it is.
I'm 13 years old. My village is Kalonge. They took my mother and hanged her on a tree and started raping her. She doesn't know how many raped her. Yeah.
How old was this young girl when you met her?
She was 14 years old.
How do you understand how human beings can do this to each other?
I've never understood why it's such atrocities. Before, I thought that to rape women, it's for sexual pleasure, of military, of rebels. That was my thinking. But when I heard about atrocities which are following the rape in Democratic Republic of Congo, for me, I can't imagine why they are doing that. Because, you know, it's really a way to destroy all the community by using the women's body.
But it's torture. I mean, it's just torture, and it just seems...
Torture. And they don't like to kill them, you know. No. It means they use that atrocities on the women's body, but not to kill them, to let them suffering with that all their life. Because, you know, victims are rejected by their families, by all the community. Somewhere is to sensitize the community to accept them and to show the problem that it's not a problem of women, but it's the problem of all the community. And we have, everybody have to do something to help to end it or to help victims.
Why do you think women are still stigmatized who have been treated in such a despicable way? Do people feel it's their fault that they did something to bring this on to themselves?
You know, it's a shame to see that your mother, your sister, your children was being raped. And for the family, it's a shame. It's really a shame. That's why they reject them. They can't live with her when she was being raped. She lose her dignity. She lose all the consideration that she had in the community, and there is no way to get it again. That is why we make many sensitization on the community to accept that, to show that it's a big problem of all the community. It's not a problem of women.
Do you feel that you're making any progress?
Yes, we have already made many progress because there are NGOs now which are doing reintegrations. It means the victim has got medical assistance, psychological assistance. Sometimes it doesn't work. They are fleeing again. They are running away from their village. So it's really hard for victims to reintegrate their community.
Is there anything that the people listening to our conversation can do to help you?
Many things. My first thing that I ask to everyone to get involved in the fighting against rape and sexual violences. And that's why we say to talk about it is to act. It means everywhere you are, you can talk about the problem of Congolese women. And it will be a way to make pressure, to make pressure to government, to make pressure to those who have got power to stop it.
Shushu Namagabe is the president and founder of AFEM, that's the South Kivu Association of Women Journalists. She's one of the recipients of the 2009 Knight International Journalism Award for her work bringing attention to the survivors of the rape epidemic in Congo. And she was kind enough to join us here in our studios in Washington. Shushu, thank you so much for speaking with us, and thank you for your very important work.
Thank you very much, Michelle, to invite me, and thank you for all the listeners.